The first product that we did in Haiti was a very simple round leather circle bag. I took it to market when you're expecting to sell about 50 bags, and we sold 1,000. I was like, whoa, each of these bags takes like 2 days to make. What are we gonna do?
Welcome to the Explore Home podcast, where we navigate design trends with industry leaders and insiders, interior designers, and influencers who inspire the way we design furniture. I'm your host, Neil McKenzie, Director of Marketing from Universal Furniture. Let's get started. The team at Universal has been very busy over the last couple weeks preparing to welcome you to High Point Market. We have a new 80-piece collection called Weekender with Coastal Living, 16 events over 5 days in our Learning Center, which is sure to be a great time at our market party with Architectural Digest on Monday, April 24th. Today on the Explore Home podcast, we're pleased to welcome Carmen Black, founder of Half United. If you visited us last market, you would have seen the pop-up that Carmen and her team had in our showroom, and I'm pleased to say they will be back. Half United is focused on helping to fight hunger through gainful employment. Globally, 957 million people are undernourished. This means that nearly 12% of the world's population cannot effectively learn, work, or care for themselves or their families simply because they do not have enough food to eat. Half United has been committed to giving meals to children in need for every product purchased, but they're also focused on providing gainful employment opportunities to adults in need, partnering with them in both the design and manufacturing of goods. They are committed to partnering with artisans living in the world's most vulnerable areas. Please enjoy my conversation with Carmen, who is quite passionate and dedicated to the cause, and you can find out how to get involved, preview their assortment of goods, and learn how to become a wholesaler at halfunited.com. We look forward to seeing you in High Point this week. Carmen, welcome to the Explore Home podcast. Thanks for making some time for us.
Neil, thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting. I really, really appreciate it.
So we are excited about having you and your team back this spring at High Point Market. I wanted to start, for those that maybe don't know who you are and maybe haven't heard of Half United, if you can kind of just share a little bit about what it is and kind of what led to you kind of starting this organization.
So yeah, so Half United is a brand that sells what we call socially good goods. And basically what that means is we are a for-profit philanthropic company. So we basically put giving back above our bottom line, which is not the traditional way to do business. But we just really believe that, you know, if it's really a simple thing to, instead of, I don't know, a silly example, having your leather handbags, instead of having them made in China through traditional means where people are getting paid oftentimes really unfair wages, if we can take that same job to Haiti, which is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and we can create gainful employment for people, pay them sometimes upwards of 25 times what they normally would make in a day, and give them a chance at real success for themselves, their families, give them access to healthcare and housing and all these things simply by creating a job, we just really feel like it's kind of a no-brainer. And we're not really sure why other businesses are not placing more of an emphasis on this type of business, because what we do is not... there was no wheel reinvention with this. This is not a novel concept. We're simply reallocating our manufacturing processes from places where people are traditionally, you know, treated unfairly. Not always, of course. You probably have some great manufacturers in China that are killer and do a great job and pay well. But, you know, traditionally, that's not the case. And so we take our manufacturing to places where we know we can make the most impact on the lives of people that are living in poverty. And additionally, what we also do is for every product purchased, even when it's made by an artisan in a developing nation, we provide 7 meals for children and families in need, mostly in North Carolina. We help a little bit in Rwanda. But it's not very expensive to do either. It certainly does eat into our margins a little bit, but in a way that we feel like, again, we're paying it forward. It's a fun, wonderful, satisfying way to do business. And so anyway, that's what Half United is. We're a social good company that gives back with every purchase.
And what kind of led you into this business? And I think also if you can talk a little bit about the goods that you guys are selling, because it's fairly eclectic. It kind of touches a number of different categories.
For sure. So we started with jewelry and t-shirts in 2009. And the reason we started with jewelry and t-shirts at the time is because when my brother and I founded this company, he was 19 at the time. I was 24. I had just left a job as a television news reporter that basically, I kid you not, Neil, when I first started, I think my very impressive salary at the NBC affiliate that I was working with was $18,000 a year. So needless to say, both of us were really broke. And so we took a whole whopping $200 and we thought, okay, how can we buy things that are inexpensive and handmade products, sell them at a profit, give some of the money away? And it's kind of grown and grown from there. So started with jewelry, and what we realized is we were only selling one little signature piece of jewelry at the time, which actually was doing really well. And a few years into selling it, Nordstrom picked it up nationwide, which was cool. But it dawned on us, uh-oh, it was a recycled bullet casing necklace that represented at the time your fight against hunger. And it was like this like, you know, very youthful kind of like stance we took on fighting hunger. But we realized, hold on. This product, as impactful as it is and as conversation invoking as it is, because you're wearing a bullet casing around your neck and you're telling people, hey, this what's meant to harm or once what could have harmed is now meant to heal. This product fed someone. We thought, okay, well, if we're going to have repeat customers, they don't need another fighting hunger necklace is what we called it. So we've got to design more jewelry, We were invited in 2016 with Tom's Shoes, who we actually were partnered with at the time and selling our fighting hunger necklaces on toms.com. They, you know, they a few years later sold their company for $500 million. But at the time we worked with them, they were at peak of their popularity. And so they invited us to Haiti to do a photo shoot to celebrate the partnership that we had with them. And they wanted to put out marketing materials and billboards and all kinds of things. And it was this big to-do. And so we go to Haiti, and it was, I always grew up doing mission trips, and I would go to developing nations, like with my church. And, you know, I would help kids at elementary schools and help communities with building projects and whatever. But Haiti was the first time that I was not going to a developing nation to help. I was going there really for a photo shoot. And so my eyes were a bit more open because with Tom's, what they did was they took us around the entire island to all these different communities. And I didn't just sort of like fly in, help one community and leave. I saw the widespread poverty. And it was at that moment that my brother, he was on that trip. He said, you know what? This is really bad. He goes, I don't think we can continue to just make jewelry in the United States. I think we need to diversify. Why don't we start figuring out what products they're really good at making? Let's design against the artisans in Haiti, their handicraft, and let's see if we can bring those products to market. And the first product that we did in Haiti was a very simple round leather circle bag that requires no machinery. And it's all hand cut, hand dyed, hand stitched, hand oiled, all this stuff. I took it to market when you're expecting to sell about 50 bags, and we sold 1,000. And I was like, oh, I was like, whoa, holy cow. Each of these bags takes like 2 days to make. What are we going to do? Because people wanted them. People wanted them in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right? And so we had to increase our workforce in Haiti from 12. At one point, we were talking about around 300 people that we had to help because we needed the bags and we needed them fast. But what we did was, as a result of that project, we saw, holy cow, that was sort of just an altruistic move to help people. We hoped it would work, but we really didn't know. It ended up, we started seeing homes being built and people that we were working with that couldn't read, learning to read, and people having cars were showing up at work. That was unheard of. People were walking to work before this. And we thought, whoa. And the mayor one day came out and was like crying and hugging us and thanking us for how we had transformed the community. And we're thinking, oh, we never meant to do this, but holy cow, this really works. So we took that concept. Now we're working in 8 different countries doing the exact same thing. And so we do everything from leather bags to glassware to candles to even a little bit of clothing now, just modeling that same concept.
Very cool. And how did the name Half United, how did that come to be?
Yeah. So when we first started, remember how young we were and naive we were. Originally, we were just called Half. That's it. It was just Half. And the idea was, we do our half, you do your half. We could, you know, together we can like help each other. I don't know. We ended up adding United because what we learned after, again, remember, now we've been doing this a long time. You know, we do a lot of education on hunger alleviation, what causes poverty, root causes. I mean, I could probably speak on that topic for a long time. But basically what we have since learned is literally half of the world. Now I'm talking, geographically, not population size, of course, but geographically, half of the world lives in poverty and the other half does not. And it literally is almost on a 50-50 split. And so we thought, okay, if half of the world lives in poverty, if we unite together or if we become united, we could solve that. So half the world lives in poverty, half doesn't, but united we could change that is now sort of where we're at.
No, yeah. I like that. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I think you know, if you got to visit us, we hope you did, last market, you all had the little pop-up. We're displaying a number of different goods that were made in a lot of different places, obviously, that represent a lot of different categories, some beautiful, beautiful things that are kind of, you know, can be incorporated into many different environments. But where do you guys find inspiration to kind of guide, you know, certain product categories?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, and I don't know if there's like a right or wrong answer, you know, I want to say like, oh, I go, you know, I go into nature and I do, you know, it's nature is fascinating. I oftentimes I'll look at, this is kind of an aside, but I'll look at like the colors in tropical fish or birds' feathers. And I'm like, my God, like the amount of hues that can be on one single animal, it's fascinating. And that can actually be really inspiring. I mean, it's fascinating. But honestly, you know, I think what I gain most inspiration from is there's like this drive within myself and my team that, you know, if we tank or if we don't do this well, we're putting hundreds of lives at stake now. And these lives now depend on us succeeding and continuing to give sustainable work or continuing to give work in a sustainable way over and over and over. Because for example, in Haiti, when we created all those jobs and sold 1,000 bags and all this stuff, once that project was over, we had to keep selling those bags because it's like, oh no, now these people have grown accustomed to a better quality of life as they should. And we're in this thing now. And so really, I think I try to find inspiration, honest to God, from what is trending in the marketplace. What do customers want? What are they demanding? And I'm constantly looking at, you know, bigger design labels. You know, it could be a furniture company. It could be whoever it is, somebody putting out good design. And I say, okay, this is what's trending in the marketplace. How can we go into these developing nations and adapt our artisans' handicraft to something that's actually not trendy, but on trend. So it can be timeless and classic, but it's got to be in high demand because if we don't sell this well, they don't work. And so I'm just always, but it's really cool to do research all the time around designers and what they're doing, what their teams are putting out and how the market is sort of changing. And we just are constantly responding to that.
So, you know, a lot of small businesses obviously have unique challenges. I think, you know, a lot of our community, you know, whether it be a retailer, a designer, you know, you have different scales of businesses. They have unique challenges from time to time. Could be macro, could be micro, you know, different things. Your challenges are probably a little different that are somewhat similar. And then it sounds like what you've talked about obviously is some challenges that are, you know, are large, but also, you know, you can tell, I mean, you're connected to these
these groups and these individuals and these places, and you've now created opportunities, and sustaining that opportunity can be probably a challenge. But what are some of those challenges like for you guys, and how do you deal with those?
Yeah, no, I mean, we certainly face the normal challenges that every business faces, from cash flow issues to employee issues. Maybe an employee carried a key role, and this recently happened. We had an employee decide, well, she wants to move to another state and get married. We're very happy for her. We're so excited. But now that key role is gone. And so that, you know, it's those normal things. But we also face things like, hey, your order is going to be late because, you know, we just had a monsoon wipe out our entire village, and we don't have the materials yet, and we're not sure when we're going to get them back. Or I had a call last week with an incredible organization in Haiti, and the woman who I'm on the call with, she is both French and Haitian. And I tell you that because not everybody in Haiti has the good fortune of being able to leave Haiti. There are there's a certain demographic that they're simply not allowed to leave their country if they can't afford certain visas or travel visas or whatever. And this woman, I can't speak to her personal economics, but I'll say she certainly can come and go as she pleases. And she just said to me, Carmen, you know, gang violence is so bad here. She goes, I just don't know that we can work on your project right now, like this week, for example. She goes, because I'm fearing for my life, and I cannot leave my home because people are getting kidnapped left and right. There's gasoline shortages all the time. We're not sure if there's going to be another coup. She's like, it's really bad right now. And she goes, some days I just wonder, why am I still in Haiti? She goes, but it's because of the people we're helping. And so it's in those moments where we just feel helpless. But we kind of just have, like, in the case of that example, we were buying her products at one price. And I said to her, I said, look, let's double the price. Just double it. We'll pay double. It's fine. I said, we'll figure it out on our end. We'll charge more. We'll take less. I don't know what we're going to do yet. But I said, you guys are really in need. And we don't even understand, you know, sitting here in my comfortable office in the United States, or going home to my cushy bed at night, you know, it just doesn't quite compare. And so anything we can do, we will do. And I told her, I said, look, I'll take your products. We got them beautifully photographed. I'm going to put them in front of our buyer at Nordstrom and Free People and Anthropologie. And I said, I will get for you as big of orders as I can. And let's try and get your artisans to make this stuff from home, where they don't have to travel and go, to your workshop. But it's these weird things where we will just do just about anything to help these people, because they're living in the most extreme circumstances, and they can't just snap their fingers and, you know, money take care of it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
So with that, I think I would also ask you, because it's kind of a weird question, I guess, but because I feel like you almost kind of answered it, but, you know, what are some of the things that provide maybe the most sense of reward for you or satisfaction as it relates to, you know, what you all are doing?
I think honestly, for me, it's just, you know, the more, let's say we really started taking off, quote unquote, by our standards. Remember, we started with $200. So I mean, anything is a gain. Let's put this into perspective. But by 2016, we were doing pretty well. And I remember I had gotten, I lost sight of our mission. And I sort of forgot that we were still giving money every month, every quarter, every year. And we were really proud of that. But we were giving it at the time in really far off places where we would get reports, we would have Zoom calls, whatever. But, you know, I wasn't traveling to these places very often at that time. And I really, really lost sight of our mission. And I think in doing so, it was almost like I got consumed with just business and running a business and growing it. Thank God, now years later, we've come full circle where this year we are we are going to be running a community kitchen at our local MLK Center in partnership with our local city. We have an urban farm now. We run 10 community gardens and we run a farm to school program in addition to working in 8 different countries and helping all these artisans. Whenever I'm doing all this now and our business is doing all this now because I learned the hard way from when I kind of lost track and it, you know, it was just not a good situation personally, professionally. We're back on track. And I think, you know, driving through our city and seeing our urban farm or spending time at a community garden on a Saturday, even if it's pulling weeds or putting out, you know, wood chips or whatever it may be, or attending a city council meeting and vying for whatever it is we're battling for at that time. It's just so fulfilling. It's such a fun and positive way to do business. And I now have something to compare it to because I did lose sight of that so many years ago. And now to just be back in this place where everything is pointed true north towards our mission, it's like, you just can't beat it. It's worth waking up and kind of like fighting for every day.
That's very cool. Now, you guys, you're coming back to High Point Market. You're going to be in our atrium, our designer's lounge. How can folks kind of shop the space and support this effort? And what are other ways, I guess, people can learn more about, you know, where the goods that you all are involved in, where else are they sold?
That's incredible. So I think the best place to start is either by following us on Instagram, just at Half United, or visiting our website where you can read about all of everything I've talked about, which is halfunited.com. We're so excited. We're so humbled and proud to be coming back to partner with you guys. We just have never had a better experience. And so I, you know, normally when I go to trade shows, and if I'm honest, there's a bit of excitement and a bit of dread. And it's like, oh, geez, like, here we go. This is going to be really hard. But when we come to work with you guys, all we are is excited. We're just like, okay, this is great. We get to spend a week with new friends and meeting really cool new people. And this is really fun. But we're bringing some of the coolest, really brightly colored horn and shell jewelry made in Haiti. We're bringing some really awesome new candles, some killer candle boxes. We've got some incredible new glassware colors. All of our glass is made of recycled glass, of course, out of Mexico. We've got some new straw goods products, some really big, cool new straw bags that are going to be great for men or women to carry, you know, on the boat, to the beach, whatever. Yeah. Very cool. So yeah, it's going to be very cool.
Well, the stuff, the quality and the breadth of goods that you guys have, and there's a lot of fun stuff that you can obviously take home, or you guys can ship to people. Totally. I think that's what happened last time. It's some beautiful stuff. I remember I got some glasses and some candles and we loved them. So, very excited about that, coming back. And it sounds like some really fun things that'll kind of fit into our coastal vibe that are kind of going on.
Totally.
And if folks that are listening, if they're thinking this is really cool, you know, what you guys are doing clearly having an impact, how can people get involved without necessarily just buying something? But if they wanted to get involved in a larger way, you know, how do you guys handle that?
Yeah, I would ask anybody to please email me. So it's Carmin, Carmin, at halfunited.com, because we haven't announced it yet, but starting in July, all of those exciting projects that I talked about, especially in North Carolina, the gardening projects, the urban farm, that sort of thing, we actually are going to be founding a nonprofit where we can accept donations to help fund those. Yeah. And so, of course, a lot of our financial allocation will still be going to that, but that also opens us up to, you know, private donations and then receiving grants and things like that. And so, if anybody is out there and thinks like, oh man, I want to help with this, please email me. I would love to speak with you. Come visit us at market. I would love to talk with you in person. Or if you're like, wait a sec, I live in North Carolina, or I even live in Wilmington, I would love to actually boots on the ground. Yeah, email me about that too. And I'll connect you with somebody else who will get you plugged in here locally.
Very cool. Very cool. And last question I have, what does home mean to you?
That's a great question. So growing up, my mom, and still is, she's an interior designer. And when I was little, she would help in Gucci stores, and she did Crabtree and Evelyn stores and Sears stores and all this stuff. And I tell you that because I grew up having a really deep appreciation for interior design, high quality goods, high quality furniture, whatever it may be. And so home to me, honestly, is, I feel like it is the place. And this is hard for me because you have to think, Neil, in my mind, I'm thinking like, I've visited homes in Haiti that are lean-to shacks with dirt floors. And it's like, man, right. You know, you kind of have to balance how you answer this question because I've been exposed to a lot. What does home mean to all of us? But I'll say it this way. I think no matter what we have, home should be a special place that we come home to, right, in the evenings or whenever it may be, and just love our surroundings and feel really safe and feel really loved and feel like we are, you know, even if our home is not lavish and fabulous, if we are at least in a community where, you know, inside the home, we get to relax and unwind, but when we go out, we're adding value. I think that is the most important thing. Like, make it your safe haven and a place that you really love, rich, poor, whatever, you just love to be in. And I think socioeconomics don't always dictate that. I've been in some of the sweetest, most loveliest homes that had dirt floors that when you walk in, it just feels so special and lovely. And then you've been in, you know, a mansion that it feels a bit cold, right? And like, ooh, get me out of here. So I think it's just a place where you can, you know, give and receive love and just feel really comfortable. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we're excited to have you guys back at April Market. And again, Carmen and her team from Half United will be in the atrium as well as in the Designer's Lounge. They have some great offerings that are also doing, you know, some great good across many different areas. So look forward to seeing you guys and having you back, and appreciate your time this afternoon.
Oh my God, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to see you guys in a few weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just a few weeks. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks again. And yeah, we'll see you at Market.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. I've been your host, Neil McKenzie from Universal Furniture. Please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and follow us on Instagram at Universal Furn.